everybody. It's the Week in the Tackle podcast, additional extra bonus show, which features tidbits from our SiriusXM FC show, Grumpy Pundits. I'm Tom Rennie. Brian Dunseth is with me, of course. Before we introduce the tidbits, we should mention on the show on Friday, we did a poll, which we totally forgot as ever to mention at the end of the programme. If West Ham win the Conference League, which they're going to do. Should I get a tattoo of the Conference League trophy like Jose Mourinho? And if so, where should I get it? It was 85% to 15% yes. I should get the tattoo. I'm not saying this is legally binding here. But I mean, if we won it, I would potentially do it.
It's morally.
Yes. Where should I get it? On top of his bald head was often... was often suggested. Why are people so mean, Danny? What? Why?
I don't know what you do. How do you invoke such a response, Tom Rennie?
I don't know.
How would one invoke such a... I don't know.
I can just see Tom crying uncontrollably whilst getting a tattoo.
Are you needle aversive?
I mean, I don't... I'm not... Not really, but like normally needles when you get like a blood test or like, you know, what do you call them? The things that everyone hates. Vaccination, that's
a
it.
A shot?
If you've got like, a shot, sorry, the thing that all the nutters can't stand.
I thought you were going deeper.
No, not one of them. An enema, no. Okay. Not what, you know, when you get an enema, when you get a scraping. So that's, it's so quick, isn't it? It's like, bam, bam. You know, it's like Pulp
that's
Fiction.
That's not the case. Right in the heart.
Or as a tattoo. How long would it, if I was going to get the Conference League trophy on my head. Let's just say, I mean, you're looking at the thing like that sized. How long do you think that would take?
At least an hour, bare minimum an hour. It depends on how much shading. I mean, that's the, wherever you put it on your body, the tattoo itself should be the outline is what you usually start with, the artist. And then as you go through the complexity of the shading, is it just a black, all black trophy? Is it, you know, have a little writing, you know, the little emblem of Conference League, all those things come into play, size, position, the pain factor. But it is a, I mean, it's a, you become numb to it. You become numb to the pain after it hits you with that first jolt of energy. And then ultimately, depending on for like, for me and my shoulders, as it got higher up towards kind of my shoulder, like that, the bone, that's when you could feel it kind of going up your neck into your teeth. Or if it gets underneath near your armpit, that's when the pinch starts to happen. Like pinch yourself underneath your armpit. Like that.
Oh
yeah. See?
Well, that's deeply unpleasant.
Yeah. So they'll tell you, what they'll tell you is kind of in those regions, or like ribs are supposed to be some of the most painful spots that you could possibly tattoo. But yeah, you get a better understanding of the pain that you'll go through and the suffering once your mighty, mighty hammers lift the Conference League trophy and Larry Hagman now has a permanent place on your body.
I do want to mention Larry Hagman because some people listening to this wouldn't have heard the show. So I want to do that. But I did, we should do a few more of these responses first. Before that, Ethan, so I'm double parking things now. You think an hour for my head that size? I would have thought, because I don't know anything about tattoos. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But I would thought that might take like 6 hours. That was my, in my mind, that's how long it would take. Because the Conference League trophy, which I'm sure you know, is like a lattice effect, like the top of a pie or a Bakewell tart. So it's got like...
about the
like
same value.
I can't even come back to that one. So I imagine it would require a lot of shading. Let's look at Mourinho's one, actually. We should have done this on the show.
Yeah, and so for those that missed it, Jose Mourinho has the Champions League trophy. Obviously, he's won Europa League trophy. Obviously, he's won. And now the Conference League trophy that's now he's won. And he put
it's not particularly detailed.
No, it's just his shoulder. It's more the outline with a little bit of shading. I mean, it's nothing extravagant. Dodgy tattoo artist is what I would suggest.
I thought as this was Jose Mourinho and he's got unlimited money, this would have been like a real high quality tattoo.
It should have been for free. What should have happened, and it might have been for free, what it should have happened is the best of the best tattoo artists in Italy, there should have been some, his representatives should have said, hey, Jose wants to do this. Do you want social media play? Do you want the plug? Do you want to do like, you could have very easily found like a celebrity tattoo artist that was available to do this the right way. And it could have been extraordinary. And it's just this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a tattoo, but I do have a couple of tattoo stories for you.
Oh boy.
The first one is that when I was in Thailand at a full moon party, which I just couldn't recommend. I don't know if you're allowed to do them anymore. It was, sorry, Tim. It's fucking wild, right? It was wild. Okay, I just can't tell you any of that.
Yeah.
But my friend and I, who I wasn't traveling with, but I knew him from university, he's a good friend of mine, and we sort of bumped into each other on this beach. So you can imagine seeing your old pal on a beach in Thailand, not knowing he was there. Things escalated extremely quickly.
Randomly rubbing his face. I can picture it.
You essentially have the run of this town to yourself with the tourists, right? And we were going to get matching tattoos done. So his name is Luke, and my name is Tom, obviously.
Yeah.
I was going to get Luke done, and he was going to get Tom. So we went into a tattoo parlor. That's too extravagant. It was like a room that was tiled with a man with a needle. It was really not sanitary. And we were like, basically, this must have been about 7 or 8 in the morning, like the following sort of day as we were still going. And we couldn't wake him up. I don't think he was dead. There's no way of knowing. But we couldn't wake him up. So if we could have got the tattoo artist to stir, I would have had Luke on my shoulder and he would have had Tom on his shoulder. But luckily, he didn't wake up. My other tattoo story is that I was once at an incredible club in Magaluf, where the teenagers go in Europe, right?
Where is such place?
It's an island off the coast of Spain. Okay. They have a selection of kind of party islands where Ibiza is, Menorca, Mallorca, these places. Very, very popular holiday destination, certainly with Brits before the idiocy of Brexit. You do it now, but it's expensive and you're waiting long lines and stuff. But anyway, it was easy to jump over there. So everyone goes at like 17, 18, 19 to like Zante, Malia, Magaluf, Ayanapa, those sort of places. Anyway, we're in this club that was so mental, it had a tattooist on site. So people were getting tattoos, but usually they're permanent tattoos, proper tattoos. But they would usually have like, like a dolphin or whatever. Anyway, this guy, you won't get this joke because you won't know the accent, but he was like, I love Wigan. I love the town of Wigan. I'm proud to be from Wigan. And so I've had the tattoo done. And he came out and around his belly button.
Oh, no.
He was going to have Made in Wigan around his belly button. He's showing us, group of lads, at 18, 19. There's about 10 of us. And we're like, oh, yeah, mate. Yeah, great. Yeah, oh, fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. On his belly button, he'd had Made in Wickham. And he was going around telling everybody. But because of the situation, he looked like a bit of a nutter.
Yeah.
Nobody told him. Nobody told him. So I always envisage this man waking up the next day having but had Made in Wickham put on him permanently in like BCM in Magaluf.
No, f***ing no. Sorry,
Tim. But yeah, anyway, that's my two tattoo stories. Some other suggestions here for things that could have it. Front and center on the chest. Just too much. What's this one? Tattoos are played. I think he should do a brand instead, more like a cow.
Oh, I have friends that have been branded. It's a what? Thing here. It's a thing here in the United States. It's
right.
Yeah, the fraternity. There's certain fraternities at certain schools, and I feel like it's more prominent on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast. But there's a branding thing that happens where if you're a part of this frat, if you pledge to the fraternity, I'm not a frat guy, I never did it, never made sense to me to pay to have friends, sorry how many people I've disrespected there, but yeah, the frat guys, like, there's they take the brand of the frat and they burn it usually into their shoulder.
Wow.
And like a cattle brand.
Wow.
And that's it. So I've played with two guys that have brands, and usually soccer players in the United States that had gone to college, because soccer is kind of like its own fraternity of, like, they don't double up and do a double fraternity, double frat. But yeah, the two guys, the thing that's different about the brand is, this is obvious, the tattoo is on the skin, right? And it lays flat.
Yeah.
But the brand actually puffs out.
What?
And so, yeah. So the brand itself,
like,
is
scarring.
It is scarring. It's the scarring is on top of the skin, so it comes out a little bit.
I mean, genuinely slack-jawed at this. I thought this guy was like joking, saying I was like a cow.
No.
But this
no,
is it's, real.
It's a 100% real thing that people choose to do.
I bet that hurts so much.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Well,
savage.
Yeah, and
burning your skin.
Yeah.
And what? So is it like a? So you'd have a pattern like you were like the Antichrist, you know, the A with the circle in it, or like, well, I suppose I could have the hammers done in branding.
Do you guys get Yellowstone, the TV show Yellowstone, over there yet?
Yes, I've seen it. I haven't watched it though. So I don't know enough about
The why in the Yellowstone in the show is the guys, the men and women that work on the ranch, they get branded with the why from Yellowstone. And that is their, like, you're a part of Yellowstone for life, good, bad, ugly, whatever. But they show the process, like they show it getting branded, and you're just like, my God, people actually do that. Not just in television, but they do that in real life. I can't even imagine. Plus, that's, I think, staggering. About infection. You think about then the scar tissue and how, yeah, just give, like, makes your balls hurt. Makes your balls hurt, Tim.
Who is Post Malone?
He lives out in Utah. Big, big singer. Yeah. You don't know about Post?
He's a singer. Because apparently someone has said I should get a Post Malone style face tat.
You really don't know who Post Malone is?
You've no, I don't know who that is.
That's not
a popular performer in England, as far as I'm aware.
He is. No, he absolutely is. He's a
huge, I did say, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, I was going to say, as far as you're aware. You would know his music if you heard it. If you went to whatever, pick your app, pick your site, and popped in Post Malone, you'd be like, oh, this guy.
Right.
So Post Malone's all tatted up, usually has a cigarette and like Budweiser or beers in his hand, face kind of tattooed as well. So, supremely talented. Actually lives here in Utah. Actually lives here right down the street from me.
I don't recognize him, but Tim sent me a picture of his tattoos.
Posty is right down the street from me.
Yeesh, look at those tattoos.
God. Yeah, you should do that.
They're on his head.
No, they're under his eyes.
But then he has hair, so every now and then he can cover them up. Oh, they're on his body as well. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, they're all over. Yeah, he's all over.
Well, I mean, that is bold. That is bold. I didn't know who he was. I'll look out. Would I like the music?
You would. He's incredibly talented. He's incredibly, incredibly talented.
Yes, but there are incredibly talented people whose music I can't stand. Like, I always say this to people. It drives them mad. I really can't stand the music of Beyonce. I just don't like it. I don't like her voice or her music. Yeah. I just don't enjoy it. But then you say it to people and you're just like, oh, you just, it's like I just said something like the Queen's a prostitute or something. That's how offended people get when you say things like that. And yeah, I just don't like her. I don't think she's good. Her singing is, it hurts my ears. I can't stand it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a massive
But I know
Beyonce
she's incredible. But what I'm saying is I know she's really talented. I'm not saying she's not talented. She's obviously incredible. I just don't like her art.
Uh-oh. Here comes the beehive.
Is the beehive coming for me?
Yeah.
That's worrying. Yeah. That's worrying. Okay. Kind of the quick responses, then we're going to play tidbits. Actually, no, let's just do this bit because someone did tweet in. Because West Ham are playing Steaua Bucharest, right? So this is what I came up on the show. And Steaua Bucharest played West Ham in 1999. Larry Hagman was there of Dallas fame. I know it's all very tenuous. So I basically said to someone, can you send in a picture of Larry Hagman lifting the Conference League trophy, wearing a Hammers kit whilst wearing the 10-gallon hat? And we asked people to do it because I love it when you set weird tasks for live listeners, which is why you should always listen to the live show on Fridays. And subscribe to SiriusXM and listen to the network. SiriusXM FC 157. But two people actually drew a picture of Larry Hagman in the hat, wearing a West Ham kit. There was two amazing ones. So Jason Faria did one, who we're going to try and get in touch with to do something for him next week. And he's kept the West Ham kit is underneath the suit, like he bought the suit in the bought the shirt in the club shop.
Yeah.
And then went to the game, drew it in pencil, which was incredible. And Brad did one as well. Yes.
Just to describe the one in pencil.
Oh, yes.
It looks like, remember the character in Men in Black when the aliens come down, smash into the farmer's backyard and all of a sudden gets into his body, but little by little, his face is like falling off.
Yes.
Talking out the side of his mouth like this. Yes. That's what this drawing looks like on top of the fact that his left eye is extraordinary. Compared to his right.
Yes. Yes. It looks like he's just someone's put a cigarette out in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, our friend Chris Nagel, 909er, you don't know what that means, but he's a 909er. We grew up in the same city. He just did a stick figure alongside the Conference League trophy, which was incredibly quick and talented and yet completely satisfying.
Yes. Let me just mention one other one as well, really quickly, which was Brad. It was just amazing work from Brad. So the pencil one was sent in by Jason, which we loved it. And then we said, this is so good. We're snowboarding now. Someone else send one. And someone did. It was Brad. And it's a computer-generated image of the West Ham current kit with a kind of claymation-looking face of Larry Hagman. Hmm. With then the 10 whatever it is, gallon hat, whatever it's called. And then the Conference League trophy with all the like detailing on it on a white background. And it's just, I just loved it. It's so good because it looks like a caricature of Larry Hagman as opposed to the first one, which was brilliant and exactly what we asked for, but you wouldn't guess that was Larry Hagman.
Well, and the best part about this one, it has the Betway sponsorship on front. It's got the Umbro and then it's got the Hammers logo on it. I mean, then the face is super creepy. You can see it, like you can picture it talking to you.
Yes.
Lenny, put me on your body. And then you could, that's actually perfect. Then you could have like two personalities, right? You could have Tom Rennie and you could have Tom Rennie's Larry Hagman. And Larry Hagman could be kind of like your angel or your devil. I mean, you can choose.
Can we clip that bit of Rennie, him saying, Rennie, put me on your body. And then we can use that for the next opener. Can we take that? I think we should. All right. That's enough of this. Danny, do you want to introduce tidbits?
Listen, today we had some great tidbits. And I think you would enjoy them because we enjoyed Jesse Marsh's Lululemon stretchy pants.
Yep. There you go.
It's time for Tidbits on Grumpy Pundits.
Yeah, time for some tidbits now on Grumpy Pundits. Rennie and Dunny take America on a Friday, where we give you some stories that we thought were interesting across the past week, but weren't really strong enough for a section of any of the shows we've done across of the last week. Plus, we'll also bring you some further responses to if West Ham win the Conference League, should Tom Rennie get a tattoo like Jose Mourinho? If so, where should he get it? Quite frustratingly, lots of people saying on top of his bald head. I'm just not going to get that done. I just think tattoos on the head,
it's malicious.
Dunny, are probably a bad... It's malicious. It's malicious.
Yeah, there's a lot of malicious intent. I can think of a lot better places where I would place a tattoo on your body.
Where would you suggest that I have it done, if I have it done?
I mean, is this Week in the Tackle or is this Grumpy
Pundit? No, I mean, it's Tidbits now. I mean, it is going to be on the Week in the Tackle podcast stream on Friday with a specially recorded intro.
I don't think there would be any people that would object to Tom Rennie having a lower back tattoo. I feel like the fan base of Grumpy Pundits could get behind that. I mean, you could do shoulder, you could do your calf. I don't think your arms are big enough for that.
I don't go to the gym. I value my time.
The lower back tattoo seems to hit on a bunch of different variables in which I think the Grumpy Pundits
fan base... Isn't lower back very painful, though? Isn't that one of the real painful
places? Anything with, like, bone near the region is going to be painful, yeah.
So I'm really thinking, like, buttocks, really, meat.
The fat?
I'm not a very meaty guy. No, but, I mean, there is fat there, obviously, like all humans, but not much. I'm quite thin, really. Yeah.
Shmedium.
I'm not muscular or,
well,
like,
well established. Well established. You're a shmedium guy?
Yes.
Okay,
here's some tidbits that I gathered this week. Here's one for you. German club Hannover hope to hit the high notes, so say the Sun, so you know it's quality, after signing the son of rock legend Phil Collins.
Wow.
Phil Collins' son, Matthew, 17 years of age, has signed for Hannover as a central midfielder. He recently impressed with amateur side Astoria Waldorf. They're currently in the second division, Bundesliga 2. I don't know what 2 is in German. Zwei? Eins, zwei? Yeah, zwei. Bundesliga zwei. And he signed a one-year contract, and he's going to be part of their youth squad. Quoted by Focus, the head coach of the team, no, forgive me, sporting director Marcus Mann said, he's agile and good at football. Physically, he's got to catch up, then he can become a good footballer. Dad Phil said a few years ago, Matt loves music, but loves football even more. And Phil said he will certainly turn professional. So in many ways, he's doing it against all odds. He could see that his son, when he played, had something in the air tonight. He was a son of man in many ways. When he was conceived, Phil was an easy lover. He met a woman who was strangers like me before going on to find a groovy kind of love with her. In the end, he couldn't stop loving her. It was two hearts beating together in many, many ways. When he met the coach of Hanover, young Collins, he said, "Take me home every day." He could have signed for another team, but he said, "I don't care anymore. You can't hurry love." What's his squad number going to be? "Don't lose my number," said young Mr. Collins. Mama. That's what I had for you.
Man, I wish it would rain down on days like this, because it just is another day in paradise with yes. you, Tom Rennie.
Sassudio. I couldn't do Sassudio. Sassudio. I couldn't make it work.
By the way, I would much rather hear that being chanted in the stadium than... Dun, 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 dun. Saliba!
Oh, no!
Yeah, I'm going to get it stuck
Why'd
in your head.
Why did you do that?
Because it got burned into the mind and the soul of anybody and everyone watching that Arsenal match.
It killed me.
Saliba!
I mean, I'm pleased that they've got a chant now, Arsenal, because that makes a nice change for them.
Finally got one?
You know, they finally got one, but they did it so much because they don't have anything else, really. Mm. It was painful. And I got the train home after the game. And you know, when you don't realize you're doing it. You go on your screensaver, you scroll on your phone, you know, I read my book, and I'm just going... Ruined everyone today.
It's catchy. Yeah. By the way, as you know, I'm not to be a U.S. men's national team homer, but Daryl Dike, I feel for the man. I think he's got a bright future. I love what kind of the presence that he can bring. He's at West Brom. I'm not sure who saw this, but he wanted to give us a little insight into his personal life.
All right, so funny story time, right? And before I continue, yes, I know I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot, and I fully understand that. I will hold my hand up. But, so for the longest time, I have kind of thought that my washing machine is just crap. It's just very bad. But anyways, when I came into this apartment, I bought like one of those huge bags of laundry detergent, you know, to wash all my clothes. So recently, it went up. So I went to the store because I was like, oh, okay, I got to go buy some more. And I'm looking at the bag, and I can't find the bag anywhere in the store. And I'm sitting there like, why can't I find it? Why can't I find it? So I come back home to my apartment, right? And I look down at the bag I have. This is what I've been using. I have been washing my clothes with dishwasher soap since I've been here. I have lived in England for 8 months. I'm an idiot. How do I even do that?
He's got such a great personality. And you know, you can see it. You know, so what you obviously are listening to, he turns the camera around and he shows the bag, and it's those little pods, right? It's the dishwasher pods that you put in your dishwasher and then you wash. He obviously, grabbing the bag, thought that the pods that he was grabbing was for the washing machine, not the dishwasher. And so it gives you a little bit more insight. He's got a great personality. It's just one of those where, you know, I was a young man. I was 20. I was living by myself out in Boston. And I might have, you know, the soap that you put to clean your dishes, I might have used too much, not rinsed the amount that I needed to rinse off. When I put them in my washer, I had bubbles coming everywhere. So I got sympathy for Daryl Dike out there.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've Good all kid. Been there. I mean, yeah. Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. I love the idea. I think he's still at West Brom, right? I think, Dike.
Yeah,
I think he's
picked
still
up
there.
An injury right before the start of the season. Yeah.
I love the idea of him just walking around Asda in like West Bromwich trying to find something to wash his clothes, but he's got like a bag of like finished dishwasher tablets. Oh. And he's just saying, does anyone understand that why my dishwasher keep, why do my shirts keep coming out the same shape as plates? I don't understand it.
Is that Yosemite Sam again?
I can't do that. I don't know where he's from in America. It could have been any accent.
I think he's Oklahoma.
I love the idea. He's probably eating, what's the Oklahoma accent? I don't know. Oklahoma.
I mean, it's pretty much your Yosemite Sam, I would assume.
Yeah, so I was nailing it. Like I said, I know my accents. Oh, I love the fact I've got to eat my dinner off this shirt. It's quite nice. I like it. Beautiful. I love that clip. What have I got for you? Here's one for you. Now, on the face of this one, It's quite a nice, funny little story, but it leads me to something else that really winds me up that you'll notice. I'm sure many people will notice these kind of stories in the media, right? So do you remember a few years ago when Chelsea played Swansea and Eden Hazard had that altercation with the ball boy? So the ball boy was holding the ball. Eden Hazard sort of kicked him, tried to get the ball back, got sent off, blah, blah, blah. Well, there was a story this week about Charlie Morgan, who was the ball boy in that game. And it says, "You're not going to believe what happened next." Clickbait, 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 right? So you click it. Oh, I remember the story. Yeah, what's going on with Charlie Morgan? Mm. Well, Charlie Morgan now owns a £40 million business empire. And you're like, oh, great. Good for him. Good for him and his entrepreneurial spirit. Mm. Read down the story a bit. In fact, he's now a multi-millionaire with a thriving vodka company worth £40 million. He set up the business named Ooh Vodka alongside school friend Jackson Quinn in 2016. And you're like, oh, what a great story.
Seed money.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
Seed money.
Keep reading down. The young entrepreneur's father is Martin Morgan, Swansea FC director and owner of Morgan's Hotel, and multi-millionaire. So it's lovely that this guy with endless seed money from his millionaire father, who also got him to be an actual ball boy at Swansea for a League Cup semi-final, which is not easy to do. You don't just get that. You get that because you're connected more often than not, unless you're going to be a footballer. So he's had this great life, and he had seed money and security, and they're talking about him like he's some sort of boy from the estate who created the iPhone. Like, and that's not the case. He created a vodka backed up by his dad's money, then sold the company probably to his dad's friends for cash. And it's like, this happens all the time, right? Because we're in a cost of living crisis just like you, but we've got this incompetent, despicable UKIP government here, right? Who have no interest in taking care of the population. You know, imagine like Republicans, but I was going to say worse, but just as bad. And basically, we're in a situation now where, like, there's a constant stream of, yeah, but what you got to do is pull your socks up. There's this despicable politician in the 80s called Norman Tebbit who created this phrase, on your bike, get on your bike. You know, get on your bike and cycle to work. I think it was during a petrol crisis at the time. Like, get your bike, you can get to work. Don't have a go at me, you lazy work shy scum. You know, typical prick Tory. Anyway, and you're in a situation now where there's a constant stream of, I save £500,000 in a year and I haven't got a mortgage. Or I own a penthouse in Soho and I somehow have done this despite being 16. And you constantly get in this trickle of stories and you read down, it's like, oh, Phil from Loughborough spent the entire year, he didn't buy a single coffee, he didn't have a Netflix subscription, didn't have a SiriusXM subscription, didn't ever buy any magazines, never ate out anywhere. Tim also got a £700,000 loan from his dad, who's the chairman of British Airways. And it's constant. It's constant, this narrative. Pull your socks up. On your bike. Entrepreneurial spirit. Hmm. Brian's dad gave him a £7 million loan when he was 15. You know, it's the whole Trump thing, isn't it? Like, oh, I started my business with just £1 million loan from my dad. Look at my incredible entrepreneurial spirit. And I don't mind that. You know, why not? If you started on third base, great. Live as such. But don't pretend to me you've just hit a home run. Like, I just can't. It sickens me. It just sickens me. And this whole story, I've seen it this week, done on similar things to, like, Tidbits and other shows, right? Where it's like, isn't this a sweet little story? Isn't it great that this kid, you remember getting kicked by Eden Hazard, this Charlie Morgan's now a millionaire. He was a millionaire on the way in. I have Eden Hazard kicked him harder. Anyway, that's my tidbit. Got another one?
Jeez. Yeah, by the way, can we give a shout out to Jesse Marsh's pants? Like,
oh,
I kept
hardest working
going,
pants in showbiz.
I mean, like, are these Lululemon-esque type of stretchy pants? Like, I just need to know. I need to know. Because, listen, Jesse's fit as a fiddle up and down that sideline. The intensity, the focus, the celebration, the Gronk spike, the slap in the hand to Timmy Tickles, who shouldn't have been on the bench, but still on the bench, but then says publicly, privately, it wasn't my fault. He was the aggressor. It wasn't my fault. He did that. I did that. I shook his hand. I hold on to it, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, back to Jesse's stretch pants. That I went back and I was watching the highlights. I was watching post game coverage. I was watching all the interviews, and they just showed Jesse sprinting down the sideline and doing the air jump, and it was like I was watching a video game character, right? And then I just thought, those gray jean stretchy things that he was wearing. Can we just shout out those things for a second? Because if they were tight enough and if they were jeans enough, he's ripping them, right? He's got to rip them. There was too much flex. I'm noticing, Rennie.
So you're saying this spandex?
No, stretchy. I'm not going
to go spandex.
Spandex
made to look like denim.
Lululemon-esque stretchies.
Yeah.
Which I respect. I actually need to go take a look at. But have you ever been to? You guys got Lululemon?
We have Lululemon, yes. But I have a little story for you. I went to a friend's wedding in Copenhagen a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And if you ever get to go to Copenhagen, I couldn't recommend it higher. It's an incredible place.
Yeah.
And they had this incredibly, like, he lives in Dubai, so he's kind of not paid tax in 10 years. They got a lot of money. And they flew us all over as well. Flew me from London on his dime to go to Copenhagen to this 3-day wedding. It was amazing.
Sounds terrible. Yeah,
it was terrible, right? So on the night of the wedding, I was dancing with my friend's wife. He didn't pay for Mrs. Rennie to go, so I went to Stag. It was brilliant. She's not here, right? No, we're fine. And so basically, I was on the dance floor with my friend's wife, and I sort of, it was real, like, drunken. Like, real drunken. And so I was doing this thing where I was picking her up on my shoulder.
Oh, no.
Like a bag.
Okay.
And then sort of dropping down to my knees and then lifting her up again. And it was a thing. Apparently, it's a Danish thing that they do. And so people were doing it at the wedding. So I wasn't just like doing it off the cuff.
You were copying. Got it.
It was a thematic thing. But as I dropped down, I had quite a tight pair of black trousers on. And when I went down, Jesse Marsh style, then popped up again, I split my trousers from top of buttock to bottom of buttock, fully open.
Okay.
And I was wearing underwear, thankfully.
Oh, I thought we were going to get a subplot.
But I didn't realize it had happened for another maybe 3 hours.
Nobody told you?
Nobody told me.
Oh.
I'm not sure anyone even noticed because we were so sort of drunk. But then at one point, someone came up to me and just fully put their hand in my trousers and grabbed me by the buttock. And then I went back to my sort of apartment bit to get changed. But I was so drunk and in Copenhagen, I couldn't find my apartment. I didn't know where the wedding then was. I didn't, for some reason, have my phone on me. So I was walking down next to a river, the famous river in Copenhagen. I forget the name of it now. With a hole in the back of my trousers, paralytically drunk, unable to locate either apartment or wedding. And the temperature at the time was about minus 10, which is Celsius. That's minus 40 or something Fahrenheit, I think, something like that. So there you go. It's happened to the best of us.
I have so many more questions about this, but I'll just come back to Jesse Marsh, jeggings.
I've had some jeggings. They're actually a very good... You should own them.
Yeah.
You should own them.
Maybe
do you have jeggings?
Yes.
You seem like you would.
Comfy.
You're young at heart. Yeah.
Comfy.
They're comfy.
Yeah.
You've got to look after your buttocks in this day and age, and you shouldn't feel bad about it. I've got a question for you. Maybe a question. It's more of a quiz, actually. It's not a proper quiz, but it's sort of quizzy.
Okay.
What club in the Premier League do you think has the most expensive pies and why?
I mean, I would like to say West Ham because of the beer charges and the cost of going to watch Viborg in Conference League. But I feel like that's not going to be a good shot. Tottenham? Tottenham?
So Tottenham are joint third, £4 per pie, which is about $5.80. So they're third.
What's the average size of a pie? Like if you put it in your hand, what's the size of a pie right now?
So a good pucker pie, which are the most popular brand of pies in England, usually you'd put the pie on the palm of your hand. The entire base of the pie would fill the palm of your hand.
Okay.
And then it comes up by about 3 inches, I'd say. Okay. Then you want, if you've got your meat and potatoes or your beef and onion, your steak and kidney, you want it to be 70-odd% full, and then the pie top is another couple of centimetres out of the original circumference.
What about Arsenal? Where's Arsenal fall on this?
Arsenal 7th, £3.90. Oh, wow. So $4.10-ish, something like that.
City? Man City?
City, joint third with Tottenham at £4.
Okay. Let's go United.
United, £3.90. Still cheap.
See, I started my theory with stadium cost. Maybe that drags across to pie cost, but obviously...
Well, do you want to know? Do you want to know?
Give the answer
is Fulham.
Huh.
Fulham had the most expensive pie at £4.50. in the Premier League, which comes out around about $5.30, $5.50, something like that.
So help me understand. Is that considered like outrageous?
Well, here's what's interesting about this, because the beer price you mentioned has been a big story in the news this week. The West Ham are paying £7.30 for a pint, which is, I mean, the mean price in England currently, in London, is about £6.30. In England, it's about £4.90. I mean, I was at university and it was £2.50, so that's how much the Tories have done for this economy. Done a great job, but the pie price isn't actually too wild. Fulham at £4.50, most expensive. Least expensive? Do you have any guesses?
Again, I want to go big. I want to go for a surprise. Chelsea?
Oh, no, Chelsea are quite expensive. Okay. Nottingham Forest, cheapest, £3. So £4.50 at Fulham for the same thing you get for £3 at Nottingham Forest, which is about $5.20. No, forgive me, that's about $4.20. What are these expensive prices if you were going to go to Sticky or Bouncy or an MLS game? Would $4.50, so $5.30, be a good price for a pie in America?
Dirt cheap.
That's cheap. Oh, good.
So I went to LAFC's. So because I'm a broadcaster again, I don't get to go watch too many games and you know, be a part of the stadium atmosphere and buy food. But I
you
took
mean you
my
haven't
son.
Got pay?
Well, because we're up in the booth, right? So
yeah, I haven't got pay either. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I don't get to eat while I'm there, actually. Whatever. Anyways, I went to LAFC, Bank of California Stadium. Incredible, 32-52. Outrageous. You're so much fun to watch on top of the style of football that LAFC is playing. I think it was $15 for a beer. It was $15. I want to say it was $13. My son and I got this, like, hot chicken type thing. I think that was, like, $13. So I think the mentality, and Tim and Brian can kind of speak to this, I think when you go into a stadium, irregardless, if that's not a word, irregardless of what sport event you're going to, you go with the knowledge that you are going to have to absorb the prices at the stadium, or you are going to have to pre-plan eating at home, finding a little nook and cranny where you can get ready for the game, and then walk into the stadium. But if you're going to the stadium in America, you're paying $40 to $50 for parking for anything close to the stadium for walkable distance, and then you know you're paying between $12 and $15 for a beer at this point.
To be fair, at some point we've all got to realise that socialism's a bit better, isn't it? It's just a bit better. Let's do a bit more socialism. Be better for all of us. Do you have any others you really want to do today? Any pressing tidbits? I mean, yeah, we can save these because we do it every week. These are not time pressing.
The last one. Listen, Dele Alli. We can talk about the mediocre. The rise that he had under Pochettino and the player that we thought he was going to be. Unfortunate. Of, I would say, the decline or regression of the player that he is right now on the field, that we thought that maybe Everton was going to be a suitable destination. And now he goes to Beşiktaş in Turkey on loan. Ren and Stimpy, we've seen the tattoos all over his arms when it comes to his favorite quote-unquote cartoon.
Does he have Ren and Stimpy?
I'm almost positive he does.
Does he?
I could be lying, but I'm almost positive that he does.
His tattoos are quite famously terrible, aren't they?
Who am I to judge? Yes. Who am I to judge?
Well, I know he had, again, like, Stewie Griffin is one of his tattoos. He has, like, a Stewie Griffin tattoo, like a
maybe,
child.
Maybe a big cartoon guy. So, anyways, the drop on the Twitter sphere for Beşiktaş was Ren and Stimpy dropping. Or, sorry, not Ren and Stimpy. Rick and Morty. Why am I saying Ren and Stimpy? Rick and Morty. Thank you,
Ren
Brian.
And good Stimpy. Ren, I thought it was a bit retro for for Dele Alli. We're
Rick
like the same
Morty.
Age.
Yeah, it was close. Ren and Stimpy. They're partners in crime, right? It was Rick and Morty. I apologize. Blew it. Threw it all to the trash can. Rick and Morty. Got it? That's the song. You heard it. It's somewhere out there on the apps. They drop him off at Beşiktaş Stadium. He kind of waves back at him and then does the whole upside down hand eye thing again. So I guess it's 6 more months and he'll be in Major League Soccer.
I mean, no, he's not that good. I mean, I love Rick and Morty. I genuinely think it's a brilliant program. I think it's fantastic. I do watch it kind of most days, actually. But I don't really... I mean, is this official? Was it an officially licensed thing? Or did they just kind of, like, thematically have a portal gun or something? I've not seen it.
Does he have a tattoo?
He has a tattoo of Rick and Morty. That's
so that's why I blew it with the Ren and Stimpy. But the Rick and Morty, and it's like their little, like, flying, I don't know, UFO-ish Rick and Morty thing.
Oh, it's Rick's car. Rick's car is also a spaceship.
There
right.
you go.
Okay.
And drops him off. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Because they advertise a lot of stuff now. They do an advert for Foot Locker, Rick and Morty.
One of my really good friends' little brothers just did the whole TV show ad, the backside of it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but yeah, Rick and Morty, very good. Dele Alli, not so much. He's a bit new series of The Simpsons. Are we too over for a Tim tidbit? Are we way too over? I Tim's saying that, but I also think we should make Tim do one. So, Brian, play the jingle.
It's tidbits, tidbits. One final one. Here is Tim.
I'll just go quickly. I was actually at a sticky game last night, the Baltimore Orioles game, and they have a very famous like barbecue stand. They do pit beef and pit turkey and things like that. So it is a bit more expensive because it is the one place that like everybody goes when you go to Camden Yards. I got two sandwiches and a large beer for $50-some. So that included chips and coleslaw and all that stuff. So yeah, the £5 for a pie is.
Wait, so you got? Tell me, so you got chips? Chips being like fries or chips being like crisps?
Crisps are American chips.
American chips. So it wasn't like cooked like fries. No, it was like a bag
of
chips.
Fries. Yeah, chips.
Yeah,
They're like
Lay's.
Special? No. They weren't like a bag of chips. They're like specialty Old Bay chips, the whole Maryland thing. So they're a bit better than just crisps, Tom. We'll just say that.
High-end crisps.
Bit pretentious.
Put it that way.
But go on.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Two large, a pit beef sandwich and a pit turkey sandwich. And they're very, very good. And then a large
So you got three
beef.
Sandwiches. Two beef, one turkey.
Two sandwiches. One beef, one turkey.
Oh, but they got beef
two
and turkey sandwiches. In. Right. Okay, yeah.
Correct. So two sandwiches, one thing of chips, two things of coleslaw and a beer, like a large beer, and that was $50-some, like $53 total at Camden Yards, which is an absolute
That's when you were saying like £15 to park. I was like, that doesn't compute.
I am genuinely gobsmacked by the numbers that you're saying to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely
genuinely
ridiculous.
Gobsmacked.
Let's do this really quick, Randy. What's like you would say? What would be a reasonable season ticket price?
Season tickets are an issue because they change from club to club, region to region. Yeah. But if you were doing like a buy stuff while you're there sort of thing, right? Yeah. So if you went to a game in Nottingham Forest, you bought a pie, which most people tend to do. We know it's £3. A pint I'd expect to be £5. So if you bought two pies and two pints, you're looking at £16-17, which is like $25-ish, something like that. Mm. That is low end. West Ham... as we know, they're ripping you off for a beer at £7.30, but even that is like $10, which seems reasonable compared to what Tim experienced. But then you have put a pie on that at £4.50, a foot-long sausage at like £5-6, so you might spend £40 on two beers and two things to eat at half-time, which is maybe similar and a lot lower quality. So, the price is astounding. That genuinely was astounding. I'm glad we annoyed the sponsors to do more tidbits. Week in the Tackle is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts. Want more Grumpy Pundits? Listen weekdays from 9 to noon Eastern on SiriusXM FC, Channel 157, and on the SXM app.